Village.
I'm Ray Chattery. I'm the deacon for the month of July. And the scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 13. You can follow on the screen behind, or you can look at page 1047 in your pew Bible. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will face to face. Now I only know in part, and will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I think I broke my record. I used to have the shortest scriptures. But I think in keeping with the tradition of Pastor Bruce, it's important that I lengthen them a little bit. I do read the Bible just a little bit. The sermon is titled, Fully Know. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may rise and the strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I have found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may rise and the strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I have found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. My grandmother, Eva Mae Thomas, completed sixth grade in Alberta, Alabama, a small farming community. She married as a teenager and had 10 children, 5 girls and 5 boys, with my grandfather, John Curtis. He was a truck driver and spent a lot of time on the road, so she was left alone to raise the children and to keep the family together. When she died, I searched her house for things that reminded me of our time together. I wanted so much so for something tangible to prove that it had happened, that we had been together, that she knew me, and that she cared about me. I found her dresses and hats, old vinyl records, a few gospel tracts, and a job application, where she had listed her work experience. She'd been a housewife, a nanny, a maid, and a farmhand. She circled these employment skills: gardening, household, kitchen, maintenance / janitorial, restaurant, and teaching. After raising her children, she had taken in more than a few of her grandchildren and raised them too. I was one of them. She wasn't well-traveled. She didn't speak a second language or play an instrument. She waited until she was nearing the age of retirement for most folks before she learned how to drive a car. Some might say that she didn't do much with her life. But she did have a lot of religious experience. She knew the Lord, and her faith was a prized possession. She ordered her week and likewise mine around the church calendar. I attended church so often that it became more like a second home. I suppose that it felt like that for the younger children, as the pews often doubled as beds during late night revivals and all night prayer meetings. Still, I loved it. The singing, dancing, clapping and foot stomping, praying and testifying, the call and response of preaching. Yes, Sister Thomas may not have been able to read or write as well as some of the other grandparents, but she could sing and thereby testify of the sweet God that she knew. And not knowing what would become of our conversations, she introduced me to God, and we haven't stopped talking since. Much like Peter, silver and gold she didn't have, but what she did have, her knowledge of God, she gave liberally and generously. Now, I'm no fool. I understand that faith doesn't mean much to some people. It's not a sought after or fought over inheritance. It will not get caught up in litigation. There's no need for a lawyer or a strong defense here. But to me, her faith has been the greatest treasure, and it is my world. To be sure, it is not otherworldly. This is not talk of pie in the sky. No, I taste and see that the Lord is good right now. She had no will and no need for one. She left nothing material for us to inherit except the house and some acres of land. I rummaged through closets, old suitcases, and trunks, but nothing that I touched could fully capture what I had received from her. It could not be contained in my hands or a bank account. My grandmother passed down a faith that keeps giving and will outlive houses and land. Like my grandmother, I don't know it all, but I do have it all. Now, there are some who do claim to be a know-it-all. Or perhaps they don't know that they have earned the title as it is introduced behind their backs. She thinks she knows so much. Whatever the case, the title is fictitious, as it is impossible to be one, especially in terms of theology. We may think about God, but we certainly don't think like God. The prophet Isaiah records the voice of the Lord saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. They simply don't match." King Solomon, traditionally or perhaps mythologically thought to be the wisest man to have ever lived, said this, "For in much wisdom is much vexation, and those who increase knowledge increase sorrow." Now, I wish I would have read this verse before I took out $45,000 in student loans. $45,000. He suggests that more wisdom creates more worry. Maybe that's why the older person's hand turns gray. That more knowledge does not create opportunities to be awarded or applauded, but produces misery. It seems that misery loves knowledge too. And King Solomon is not speaking of spiritual wisdom, but that of the world that generates such distress. So don't use this message as a reason not to attend Sunday school. Bible study does not cause misery. You cannot give this message to your teacher for an excused absence. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, "We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him." Knowing God is not connected to church membership or attendance, but discipleship, the discipline of openness, so that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Surely we can't know it all. Like my grandmother, we might know that God is sweet. Like David, that God is our shepherd. like John, that God is love, or the way, the truth, and the life. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. But all of these are mirrors, dimly lit. From the beginning, it is clear that Paul doesn't like what he's hearing about this troubled congregation in Corinth, as he spends much of the letter addressing problems, settling disputes, and breaking up fights. New Testament scholar Raymond Brown writes, this letter is a warning from a father to his children, and Timothy is being sent to Corinth to remind them of Paul's life and teachings before Paul himself comes to test the arrogant. Paul asks, shall I come to you with a stick or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Do you want a stick or do you want love? You have a choice. In light of the actions of this faith community, it is both surprising and reassuring that Paul pens this popular passage in chapter 13. Amidst church fights, divisions, factions, and popular preacher contests, Paul thinks of love. His revelation is reminiscent of John's, as Paul speaks of a love revealed, not learned by this self-proclaimed know-it-all who wrote to the church at Philippi, if anyone also has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, thank you very much, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For Paul, tradition, membership, lineage, birth narrative, social position, profession, personal passion, and even legal standing do not compare to knowing Christ. And none of these things contribute to knowing God fully. Paul says it counts as nothing, counting not for or against us, no credits earned, and it means nothing when defining our knowledge of God. He takes the same approach in the 13th chapter of the letter to the Corinthians. Like Psalm 23 is read in hospital rooms, it is mostly read at weddings, and I'm sick of reading it. It is considered the love chapter, and Paul suggests that love is not a sound or even what is said to us, but that love changes the sounds of tongues in mortal and angelic languages, that without love, words keep up a racket. Love strips power from prophecy and takes away its earned doctoral degrees. Even if we have all faith that trains mountains to jump and ask how high, without love, our minds, hearts, and hands are empty. We are nothing. Paul demonstrates the necessity of love over seemingly every human accomplishment, whether in gathering or giving away your person or possessions. If we do not have love, then we have gained nothing. What follows are the ways of love, the resume of love, the name, address, and latest accomplishments of love. See any sinner saved by grace for a reference. It is the love that will outlast prophecies, outlive tongues, and will render our knowledge outdated. All that we know are parts. All that we say are puzzle pieces to a much larger conversation and an incomparable word. It cannot be bookended. God will complete it. There'll be no need for prophecies, as his presence fulfills them all. There'll be no use for tongues, as his presence says it all. It will all be said and done, toys cleared from the floor, childish things put away. To be sure, we are looking in a mirror. God's reflection is there. But we do not see God clearly or plainly, undoubtedly or comprehensively. We do not see all of God, but glimpses and glances. We do not see God without cultural relevance or personal experience, familial history and denominational tradition, prejudice and stereotypes, social prescriptions or political influence. This is not the means by which we know God fully. Instead, we must be emptied of these references. They do not enhance our sight, but block our vision of the divine, because God is revealed and in control of this revelation. Like Moses, this will be a face-to-face encounter. No smoke, just the mirror. No interpreter or intermediary, nothing lost in translation, no misunderstandings, no church fights or schisms. But we will know God without lies and slander, without false report or accusations, without misbehaving leaders and hypocritical disciples. We will know God apart from self-serving opinions and misleading experiences, in the absence of terrorists and martyrs, without propaganda and political puppeteering. It won't be traditional or contemporary, a liberal or conservative frame. We will know God apart from history's hurt and past failings. God will not be fragmented, pulled apart by theological interpretation or culture wars. We will know God without programs and schedules, on all days, not just Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., without committees, business meetings, or majority votes. Nothing will block our view, and we will see God as he is. I am who I am, God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribes. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Then, in the fullness of time, we will see fully, knowing full well who God is, just like God knows us. No fig leaves. We will return to paradise where God walks with us in the cool of the evening. What an unbelievable knowing, an incomprehensible fullness to fully know. Amen. Gracious God, we do ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to us in confounding and mysterious ways that challenge our experience, our expectations, and our education. Reveal yourself to those who don't know you, and hasten the day when you are fully known to us. Amen. You've heard the word. Now I extend.